Hi, and welcome to the Effective Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dan, and we are going to be talking about being an effective teacher. Hi, and welcome back. Today, I'm giving you 7 ways to outsource your teacher tasks. Now, I know this might sound like it's impossible, right? We can't outsource things, but there are actually a whole bunch of things that we can outsource as teachers and that we can ask other people to do for us if you're doing any of these. So some of you may already be outsourcing some of this stuff because there are systems set up within schools to outsource some things. So let's go through these. Now, the first one is to use your parent volunteers and that kind of stuff who are at your school. Often they are the people who might come in and do photocopying and laminating and stuff for you. They might cut out worksheets or, you know, pictures and stuff for you that you need, that kind of stuff. So utilize your parent volunteers. Don't be, I have this thing. I used to do booklets all the time for my students, but I used to go down to the photocopier and sit there for half a day photocopying, you know, 120 books for a whole year group or whatever. And I'd be photocopying because someone has to be there in case it gets jammed. Someone has to be there to add more paper when it runs out to make sure that you check the first one is correct, all that kind of stuff. And it consumed a lot of my time being down there, but I didn't need to be. I could have just sent that document to someone else and said, can you please print this as a booklet ready for my class? I need 120 copies and just check that it actually comes out and looks good when it comes out. And lots of people could have done that for me. If you want to use your parent volunteers, you can also use them to help organize excursions. So you could ask them to help, you know, find places to help book things in, maybe to organize the buses for you, possibly, all that kind of stuff. You could ask parent volunteers to help organize that kind of stuff, to help organize, you know, the lists of things and who's helping who do what. You want to check over it, but they can help in the organization of that and they can help maintain the classroom, right? So you can go through and actually go, well, my class, you know, it needs to be looked after. So maybe I'm going to use my kids to look after my classroom. Maybe when I go to decorate my classroom, I'm going to get the students to help. I'm going to have parents come in and help decorate the classroom for my students if you think that's something that's important for your lessons. Okay, but you can use all these parent volunteers to actually help you as a teacher reduce your workload and offload some of it to them. That's one. So some of you may be using that kind of strategy already. If not, please do. Your school probably has a system where you can outsource all your photocopying and laminating and stuff at least. Okay, get that happening. Number 2 is in-class marking and feedback. So marking and giving feedback often takes a lot of our time. Okay, even I gave you a recent episode of 3 do's and don'ts for effective, efficient feedback. But even if you're doing that, like you can further reduce that if you want to do some marking and feedback in your class. Now, this is obviously better for students because it's going to help them to develop their ability to understand the criteria and know what makes a good answer and a bad answer. So in this kind of process, you're going to, you know, make sure that the what's being given feedback on or whatever is doesn't have people's names on it, for example. You want to swap it around, make sure no one's marking or giving feedback to themselves. Don't let them know who it's for, and then you want to guide them through the process, okay? Guide them through the criteria, what we're looking for in the good answer, all that kind of stuff. You might have a sample one that you're doing on the board and then go, okay, I want you to now look for that criteria throughout that answer, all right? And then the next thing and the next thing. And then you go, okay, I want you to pick one thing that this student can improve on, you know, and tell them what maybe they might do to improve that, okay? And give them a deadline for when it needs to be done by. And that is something that automatically you're training your students to be able to give feedback to each other. So then when it comes to them doing their actual assignments and stuff, they can pair up and go, okay, I want you to bring your drafts in today. We're going to pair you up. You're going to give each other feedback, read through each other's stuff, write some things down, highlight things, whatever, right? And we're actually developing this culture where the students support and help each other with their learning. We're developing their ability to understand what's required in their task when they need to submit things. And overall, it should improve everyone. And it's going to reduce your workload because you're now bringing that into the classroom. You're bringing that in as a learning activity, not just as something that you have to do. Now, obviously, if they're doing any kind of marking, you want to make sure that you double check the marking and that kind of stuff. And I would normally use it for feedback for students more than the marking. But having said that, you know, if you want to, you probably could use some kids to help you with the marking as long as they are students who really understand what they're doing, and you want to maybe sit in a smaller group with them or something and guide them through that process. But definitely the feedback element and giving each other feedback and improvements, very much, if you do that in class, it's going to reduce your workload and help your students a lot. Number three, ways to outsource your teacher tasks is to use AI, right? AI has been this fantastic thing that's come into education. Like a lot of people were worried about it at first, and there probably are still people who are stressed about it and don't let the kids use it at all in class, but you can use it. As a teacher, if you need to create, you know, a bunch of questions about a particular topic, get AI to generate a whole bunch. At least your drafts are done, right? You can then refine and fix it, but most of the work is going to be done. If you can't find resources, go and use something like Perplexity and ask it to give you a bunch of resources for this particular topic that, where you could ask students to do particular things. And they'll go, all right, here's a bunch of resources. And then go, okay, give me five questions for each of those resources that the students would have to answer about this topic. And they go, oh, here you go, here's five questions for you. And then you can go through and adjust those and make sure they're right for your class. But it's going to really reduce the amount of time that you've got to spend in creating these kind of resources for your students. So they can design the questions, can provide base level answers as well. If you want to say, well, here's a sample answer that's generated by, you know, ChatGPT or something, it's not going to be a great answer, but it's an example, and we're going to analyze it, right, as an example for our students. It can actually even be used, like there's lots of AI stuff that does, you know, design elements. It'll create the slides for you. It'll turn things into videos. There's so much that AI now can do. What you want to avoid with this is spending ages looking through all the different AIs, trying to find the best one, okay? Just talk to people who are using AI, who have used it lots, and find out, you know, what would you recommend I needed to get this done? I want AI to help me. And they go, oh, use this. That'll be amazing for that. So even like Bing image creator, create lots of images for you. Fairly easy to use if you want an image. It might take you 3 or 4 time goes to get used to it, but it works, right? Mid-journey, you've got to pay for, but it's better than being image creator. But at the same time, you know, do you want to spend money on AI, or do you just want to use the free one? Use the free one if you don't want to. Tip number 4 for how you can outsource your tasks is to start using other tech. Okay, I love a thing called Calendly. Whenever I'm booking in any appointments with anyone, I just send them a link and go, here is a link to my Calendly. Please click on it and you can book in a time with me where we're going to have a meeting. Okay, and you book it, and then we'll send out, you know, automatic reminder emails, all kinds of stuff for that Calendly appointment. And I don't have to go through the process of, oh, are you available on Thursdays? No, okay, how about Fridays? Oh, no, I'm not available on Friday at that time. Maybe we'll, and it takes ages, right? It's like 20 emails. I can save all that, one email. They can find the time when I'm free and they're free and book it in. Saves me a lot of headaches. Other cool tech, you could use autoresponders and templates as well for your emails. So if there's a particular topic that you have to address over and over again, you can either set it up so there's an automatic response about it when people email you. You can go, I'm away or whatever, or I'm working. So if I'm working, I'll get back to you sometime tomorrow. And that's when you can expect a reply. If it's an emergency, here's my number, call me type thing. Or you can set up templates for your emails. And then you go, well, you know, I'm organizing this excursion. Parents keep asking for the same bit of information every time because their kids didn't take it home or whatever. Just set up a template so that whenever a teacher sends that, you just go, all right, there's a template, done. There's a template, done. Just paste it in there and send it. Paste it in there, send it. You don't have to go about the whole process of rewriting it again and again and again. It's there as a template. You can also set reminders up to free up your brain space, right? So you can go set an alarm on your phone to remind you to do whatever, and then you can forget about it knowing that that alarm's going to go off to remind you, oh, it's time to do this. Great, I'm going to sit down and get that done. You can also use, if you're higher up in school, you can use timetabling software. So I used to use, I can't remember what it's called anymore, maybe it's Elevate, something like that. There's a software that you basically just, you enter in the teachers you've got, the classrooms you've got, all that kind of stuff. Setting it up might take a while, but then you click a button and it spits out a timetable for everyone. And you're like, that works, that doesn't, or you can tweak things, set out, you know, it might even give you 3 or 4 of them, and you can pick the right one. It saves you a lot of time as you go about trying to create these timetables. The fifth tip is that you can share responsibility as well. So, for example, I used to be in a faculty, right? And we're all in faculties generally, but if there's lots of us who are in a faculty, we can then divide up who's writing programs for which year groups, for example, and we can get stuff done and share out the load. So I might write the program for year 7. You know, Sarah's going to write the program for year 8. We'll work a bit together as well and check each other's work. but we have this whole collaborative type process where we're separating things out, but also working together at the same time by checking each other's work and suggesting improvements and that kind of stuff. So at the end, we end up with better programs, better resources, and I only had to do 1 year group's worth, not, you know, 4, 5, 6 year group's worth. And if you're working on a stage or a primary school type year level instead, you know, then you're going to break things up not by the year, but you're going to break things up by the subject or by the group of subjects. So maybe you're going to teach a few things together and do like a project-based thing or something. But that's how you then divide things up. You also can use, you know, sharing responsibility and stuff in ways where you actually are working together to create, you know, maybe you're going to create the lesson design type stuff together, you're going to program together. That's going to also help you to improve as a teacher because you're working together and learning from someone. I remember when I first started teaching in my second year, I had a mentor and we had to reprogram everything for my subject area, PDHPE. And I paired up with my mentor because he was a PE teacher as well. And we went through, we broke up the syllabus into all of its various parts and selected what was going in what year group. We chatted about everything. We planned things. I created resources. He would give me feedback on them. We would improve them. And it was fantastic. I learned heaps. And also it got done, right? It got done and it wasn't as big a burden as it would be if I was writing all of my own lesson plans for every class that I was teaching. So that becomes really cool because we're sharing, we're collaborating, we're learning from each other and we're saving each other time. All right, number six, the sixth way to outsource teacher tasks. And of course, you don't have to use all these, right? And they're not all going to work for you, but pick the ones that are helpful for you. The sixth one is to let students decorate their own classroom. The number of times I see teachers as it comes up to the beginning of the year and they're decorating their class, trying to make it amazing and wonderful before the students come in. And that's lovely, but generally it doesn't have the kind of impact on student learning that you might want it to. Okay. And I know that for some of us, it's, you know, just kind of our personality. We like things to be colorful and vibrant or something, or we want things to be really well organized. But if you actually let the students be involved in that process, you can plan all these great lessons instead of decorating your classroom. And then in the first couple of days, have the students go, all right, guys, look, we have this brand new classroom. Let's work. What do we want it to look like? What could we do? And then the students can be involved in it and then they'll value it way more. And as they create the stuff that goes up there, they might actually even do some learning. You might design some of that learning so that when they're creating and decorating your classroom for you, they're learning and ticking things off that they're meant to be learning as well. And I think that is a way better, more efficient use of your time to outsource stuff to your students. Yeah, and that can be, you know, outsource marking the role to your students too. You shouldn't have to mark the role all the time. Get a student to do that, particularly if you don't know the students very well. Just go, oh, who can mark the role? You can mark the role. Tell me who's here and who's not. Okay. 90% of the time, well, probably 99.999% of the time, they're not lying on that. They're just going to go tick, 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 tick. And if you know the students, you know exactly who to give it to because that kid's never going to bother doing it wrong, right? They're always going to do it right for you. And so there you go. You take that and then, you know, you're taught the lesson so you can always double check it because you should, you know, be interacting and seeing your students anyway. But it's done and it's not taking you away from what you actually want to do in your classroom, which isn't marking the role. But so think about there's lots of things that you can use your students to do in your classroom. Like I've talked about doing feedback as well with your students, right? And decorating your classroom is another thing. Think of lots of other things you could do with your students. Cleaning up your classroom at the end of the day, you probably do that anyway, but you know, having your students actually sort stuff out, help you pack up, put things away, getting equipment that you need. You know, I'm a PE teacher, and if you're going to do VE, you need to have someone who's actually getting all that equipment. It's going to take ages to collect all that equipment, pack it up, set it up, all that kind of stuff. If you utilize your students in that, a lot better. Outsourcing that task frees you up to be guiding the rest of the students and getting them ready. All right, tip number 7 to outsource teacher tasks. And this is not so much a specific task for teachers, I guess. This is kind of a task that everyone has. And this is your lunch, okay? All your food for the day, you're spending time preparing that, bringing it into school or something like that, going and getting it. See if you can organize a done-for-you lunch system where someone else is going to go and get it for you and bring it to you. You could utilize a student maybe. You can go, all right, I want you every day, or you can put them on a roster or something if you want, but go to the, you know, my parents used to, we had a school canteen and it was run by, it was essentially an external business that was running inside the school. And the food that was there was actually really good, and they would pre-make all your sandwiches and all that kind of stuff. So you could put in your, you know, your food orders and it would be made and brought to you. And so my parents had their lunch delivered to them every day, would arrive, they would sit down, they would eat it, Fantastic. They didn't have to prepare it. They didn't have to worry about it. It just arrived at the time when they needed it and they ate it. And it saves you time if you can outsource something like that. It's a very basic thing, right? But it's there. And you can use Uber Eats. You can use your canteen. You can use Hey You. Like, there's so many now of ways that you can get good quality food delivered to you that will save you time by having to go and get it. And you know, I would highly even recommend you just have standard orders so you don't even have to think about it each day. It's just going to come and you know what it's going to be. And I think that is fantastic. Okay, that is 7 ways to outsource teacher tasks. I do actually have a bonus one. A bonus one is to outsource activities at home as well. So particularly if you're a parent and if your kids are getting a bit older, you know, you want to start to think, you know, as you train your kids, how can I help them to learn all these things that actually free you up, right? So I'm going to train my kids to clean my kitchen, to put away the dishes, to be the ones who mow my lawn, who go and move the mulch, who do the jobs around the house, who fold the laundry, who do the laundry. And you can utilize that to save you time so that you can be a bit more relaxed. Or you can do it with them and see it as quality time together as you work on something. Maybe you're going to cook dinner together with one of your kids. I know my kids love cooking with my wife or cooking with me as they're preparing food. And that is a fantastic way to bond, but also I'm outsourcing a task and training them up so that later they can cook for me. And that's going to be fantastic when I come home from work or when I have a really busy day and my daughter or my son has cooked dinner for you. And I'm just like, awesome. This is fantastic. So that's a bonus for you, not necessarily a teacher task, but it's just another way of thinking about outsourcing some tasks. So I want you to think more broad about that. Think further about how you might be able to take the tasks that you're doing, the things that are eating up your time, how you can actually find someone else who might be better at doing it and who by doing it can save you time and maybe even not cost you anything if you find people like, you know, students in class and all that kind of stuff. But I think none of these things should really cost you anything except if you choose to start, you know, hiring people to do the work around your house. That's different. All right. Well, I hope you got stuff out of that. I hope that you can go and outsource a few things this week and benefit. It's been fantastic talking to you. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Make sure that you come to Teachers PD, hit the subscribe button in the top right-hand corner, and I will send you emails to help you become a more effective teacher.